Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is an early edition of the Weekly Weather. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm broadcasting here from my bright red desk at sunrise, it feels like to me. It's 10 in the morning, actually. Not sunrise, I know. But it is my version of sunrise because I don't normally talk very much and much before 11. At any rate, it is the week of December 12th. How the hell did it get to be December? I'm sitting here at my bright red desk, 2011. And what we do here at the Weekly Weather is we talk about what's going on in the heavens above and how you can work with it in the week ahead and what it means and what it feels like and energetically, da-da-da-da, all the stuff that you need to know to help you navigate the week ahead of you in terms of the energies, the challenges, the questions, and what the heck is going on. So what we are doing this week, the week of December 5th, is we're going to talk a little bit about the eclipses, because we have big eclipses this week. They happen on the weekend, and coming up on next Sunday, the Saturday the 10th. And we also have a Uranus station, which is usually quite huge and quite exciting. Uranus is stopping in the sky and turning direct, and then he will be going forward, causing all sorts of changes and excitement in our life. And we also have, you know, just your regular run-of-the-mill stuff, you know, that happens. So the eclipse is an interesting one, and we'll spend some time on that because I think people are really feeling overwhelmed energetically. It's what, you know, it's an eclipse because the moon is on the south node. You know, there's two kinds. There's when the sun is on the north node or the sun is on the south node. And eclipses, what they do is they bring to consciousness, they bring to light, they help us wake up, they help us see things in a different way, things that we never noticed before. Now, those things were always there, but we just didn't know about it. And so when an eclipse happens, it comes to light. It's like a giant cosmic strobe light. The lights of one of the lights goes out, the sun or the moon, and this week the moon will be going out across North America, China, Asia. That whole part of the Earth is going to see the moon disappear. On the East Coast here, we're not going to, but you guys on the West Coast are all going to see it, plus the Australians, everybody over on that far side of the globe. Where it is dark, are going to see this eclipse go out. And so the moon, I always say, if to take a thinking, this is a full moon eclipse, which means this Earth is going to go between the sun and the moon. And I haven't had enough coffee yet, so you have to give me a moment. What normally rolls off my tongue trippingly will take a few seconds to process today. So the Earth moves between the sun and the moon, and it blocks the sun's light from falling on the moon's face, and the moon goes dark, or actually goes kind of a red color because the sunset still kind of creep around the edges of Earth, and so it's got a little red cast, kind of a, almost looks bloody, actually. It's kind of an interesting color. And when the lunar light goes out, it's happening on a full moon. So we know full moons were already emotional, right? We know we already have a little emotional kick with a full moon. And so the moon is in the south node. Now, the south node and the north node are points where the sun and the moon meet every day on their journey. So each day the sun goes by that point and he leaves a little note for the moon. And then the moon comes by later and she picks up the note and she leaves a note for the sun in return. And then they continue this note-giving thing for like 6 months. And then one day, they're both at the rock, the node, at the same time. And they meet each other. And that happens twice a year. And those are called eclipses. Now, imagine, you know, I don't know if you've had this, where you've had a friend who you talk to all the time and you don't hardly see them. I'm thinking of my friend Tom McNamara. He and I chat, but I see him probably once a year. You know, really, I mean, we used to work together, but I don't see him now. You know, I talk to him, but and every time I see him, I always like, oh, that's what you look like, because he's a voice to me, or like me, you know, I'm a voice to you, and then maybe you met me in person, and you went, oh, wow, there's the voice coming out of her face, that's what she looks like, or, you know, somebody you've had a voice relationship with. So that's what the sun and the moon do. And on the eclipses, they get to see each other. And they go, oh, that's what you look like. And it's kind of a shock. And it's kind of a little startling, you know. I know I have a client named Kevin who travels, and he'd been a voice client. I met him first in California, he's in Bali, he's in Indonesia. Then one day he said, I'm in New York, I'm going to come and see you in person. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. And he came, and this voice that I was very used to now suddenly is coming out of this guy with bright blue eyes. And I'm like, wow, you have really blue eyes. And every time he was talking, I'm like going, he has really blue eyes. It was very disconcerting because I was so used to hearing the voice but not seeing the person. That's what happens with eclipses. They're very disconcerting. They wake up for us something that we just kind of go, wow, wow. Now, when the moon in the eclipse is in the south node, usually it's an emotional story that gets very blown out of place. And we watch the eclipses. If the sun, you know, where the sun falls, is he on the south node or the north node? Well, in this case, the sun is on the north node for both eclipses. Last spring, he was on the south node. North node eclipses invite us to move forward. They encourage us to try a new thing. They ask us to explore this new idea, this vision, to see it in a different way, and to step forward in our lives. South node eclipses tend to be loss-based. But either side of the eclipse on the full moon is going to have some planet. So when it's the sun on the north node, which is what we're having this time, and the moon on the south, the moon is where we feel emotionally sated, satisfied, cared for, loved, and adored. And when the moon is sitting on the giant south node, what I call the giant sucking hole of the south node, for those of you who've had a reading where you had somebody's guy or girl things on you're on your south node, you felt that giant sucking sound, and you were suddenly like an inexplorable force drawn towards it. Well, when the moon in an eclipse, or the sun, but the moon especially, when the moon is on the south node, it just is very potent. It just feels so big, and it feels so emotionally needy or so unsatisfied because it's the wasting part of the node. It's the part where we really are addicted. So addictive behavior is going to be really up this week. Emotionally feeling unconnected, emotionally feeling lost, emotionally feeling bereft. The other thing we're having is because Mercury is out of bounds, right, which is the ruler of the south node in Gemini, we are going to feel really bereft, really out of bounds, really unbalanced. Now remember, out of bounds planets can be very good. They can be a home run planet, or they can be a foul ball where, you know, the guy in the back behind the pitcher gets hit on the head because the ball comes back and it's out of bounds. It's not a fair ball, but it does have an effect, you know, and all the people scramble and then somebody's bleeding and gets carried out of the baseball stadium. So that can happen this week. You can get carried out of the baseball stadium after getting hit on the head with a foul ball. It is a very strong eclipse. And it is tight, meaning, you know, the nodes are 4 and the moon and the sun are 18, 14 and 18, so it's only 4 degrees apart. And add to it, Mars in Virgo is squaring the nodal axis, meaning Mars is at 13, squaring the nodes at 14. Mars in Virgo, of course, means he's answering to Mercury, because Virgo answers to Mercury. Again, Mercury's out of bounds, right? So the Mars, the planet, the principle of criticism, action, sex, drive, answerable arguments, he's in Virgo. He's squaring the nodal axis, meaning he's squaring the moon, so people are going to be very emotionally cranky. He's also squaring the sun, which means people are going to be like so cranky they're going to slam the doors and go, I'm out of here, I'm not taking this anymore. And then Mercury is out of bounds, meaning he's saying things he shouldn't necessarily be saying, but they're not untrue. That's the problem. but they might be projections, meaning it might be the other person's story that they're giving to you. Because Mercury, in addition to being out of bounds, in addition to ruling the Moon on the South Node, in addition to ruling the Mars in Virgo, also happens to be in Sagittarius, the sign he hates, because there's just too much to keep up with. It's just kind of overwhelming. There's just not enough time. There's just, it doesn't matter how big, how fast, doesn't, you know, you just, oh my God, I don't have enough to, oh, da, da, da. And Mercury is retrograde, meaning he's going backwards. He's giving you false information that appears to be true. And, you know, it produces fears, right? You know, fear is false emotion appearing real. It's a scary energy. But what Mercury wants you to do is he wants you to have a reaction. So your job when you're having this is not necessarily to take action, because under eclipses, even though you feel you have to do something immediately because you're going to die, if you can't, you can't take it a second longer. You have to say with an eclipse, okay, I'm being stimulated by the cosmos to see this situation for what it is, and I am being asked to move forward. That doesn't mean I have to drive out of here, out of the parking lot at 100 miles an hour. That means I need to see it. I need to notice it. I need to look at it. I need to understand. And because the Moon's on the South Node, I'm going to feel emotionally needy, a little bit like a bottomless pit, a little bit overwhelmed, a little unable to believe that this is possibly happening to me, and I can't believe this is happening, and I don't like it, and da-da-da-da. It's, you know, it's an eclipse. And then Venus is also out of bounds, right? So she is just a little crabby, because she's out of bounds, so the principle of desire is kind of running amok, even though she's in Capricorn, you know, she likes Capricorn. And the eclipse takes place in the hour of, on the day of, you know, front the east coast of the United States, takes place in the day of Saturn and in the hour of Mars, because it takes place bright and early in the morning. So it's a Saturn-Mars energy, meaning Mars, of course, in Virgo, squaring those planets, and Saturn in Libra saying we're learning how to talk. We're learning what the principle of relationship is for us. We have to stand in our relationships and look at them and say, is this working for me? Is this what I really want? I just saw that. I never noticed that before. Has that been there this whole time? Everybody goes, yep. You go, really? I didn't see it. Everybody goes, I know, because you didn't, you know. No, you know, you didn't do anything wrong here. You didn't see it. You weren't ready to see it. Everybody else was looking and going, well, I saw it. I can't believe she didn't see it. It's like, yeah, didn't see it. Now you see it. Now you have to figure out what to do with it, because it's there before you. So that's the big, big story of the eclipse. And when we have an eclipse, we do feel very much that the universe is running amok on some level. And emotionally, this is going to be a hard one, because the Moon in Gemini is really kind of a hard moon to satisfy. You know, I had a client here yesterday, and she has a Moon in Gemini. And she goes, I don't know how to comfort myself. And I'm like, I know, because Moon and Geminis talk to themselves, but sometimes they talk trash and then they really feel even worse. It's much easier to have a Pisces Moon. You just say, go take a shower, you know, or, you know, an Earth Moon, go exercise, you'll feel better. Or a Sagittarius Moon, go conquer some mountain, you know, and you'll feel like you're alive again. But, you know, Air Moons are, they have to talk, but talk is so unsatisfying on many levels. I mean, it's comforting in some senses, but it can be so unsatisfying. So, at any rate, we have this lovely eclipse. The other thing we have is the Uranus station. Now, last June, Uranus stopped to go direct, or retrograde. And he stopped to go direct on the December 10th at 2 in the morning, which is next weekend. But what we feel is for the 5 days leading up to his going direct and the 5 days after he goes direct, which is next week, we feel him stopped. Now, when you hold your breath, you're very aware of, wow, I need to take a breath. The same with any planet. When a planet stops in the sky, we are uniquely aware of the fact that it's not moving. And we're like, wow, that's not moving, is it? And I'm, you know, it gets us a little crazy. Now, Uranus, because he is on the world axis, remember there's points in the sky that are particularly noticeable. Uranus is stopping on what's called the world axis, zero of the cardinal signs. And he is talking to Chiron, who is at zero of Pisces. And he's also talking to Cronos, who is at zero of Cancer. So we're going to find that situations that felt really locked in seem to kind of unexpectedly blow up or dissolve before our eyes this week because of the Uranus pausing and stopping and vibrating those things within his orb and within his realm. Now, Uranus has been at zero twice before. He was there the summer, last summer, May, June, July, a year ago, 2010, when he was part of the Cardinal Cross. And remember, we were all like, oh, the stock market's going to collapse and da-da-da-da-da-da. Well, now he's had his last moment at this time where he's going to go and shake it up. Then he was there last spring when we had the spring of Egypt, you know, when they were saying the Middle Eastern spring, when all the countries started really getting wild, Egypt and Tunisia and Libya, and now Syria, of course, is having its little round of the democracy energies. So Uranus in Aries is very much going to stop again, and it's going to stimulate that energy. So we can expect everybody to be a little wired, because Uranus is in fire, he's explosive. He is talking to Mars, he's within orb of Mars, they're 4 degrees apart. And he is also talking to anything on the world axis, which would be, not Mars, I mean Mercury. Uranus is talking to Mercury. I haven't had my coffee yet. It's the problem with doing the show early. Don't have my coffee. And he also has this whole energy around trying to create things. Now, remember, he went into a new sign. He finished up the Pisces. He's tired of being depressed and sad. Now he's in Aries for good, for sure, for true. And now it is full steam ahead, complete commitment to Aries. So we're really going to start to see what his journey is going to be about for the next 8 years. And, of course, he's initiating a new 84-year cycle with this forward motion because he's not spending any more time in Pisces. He's done with Pisces forever and ever, at least for another 84 years, and he's full steam ahead in Aries. So this is a big time. Now, Uranus stations often mean people that are kind of hanging on by a thread take off. We also have unexpected departures and explosions and things that happen. And then, you know, one of those things, I pay attention to stuff. We are having things on the points that 9/11 happened on. So the nodes are at the same degree that Saturn and that Saturn and Pluto were at when they were fighting at 14 degrees of Gemini, and the Sun is squaring. The 18 degrees is squaring the degree of the Sun, 18 Virgo, when 9/11 happened. So we can have some echo of 9/11, too, or some story around it that will pop, that will be pretty big, should be a pretty big story, that also will come out under this eclipse. So it's a busy week. You know, when we have this much stuff going on, we kind of are like, wow. And it's very emotional, right? So if you feel you need to take to your bed, take to your bed. You know, there's no points for pain. No points for pain. The other thing that's happening is Venus and Saturn are in what's called mutual reception. And they're approaching a square to each other as this eclipse unfolds. And last week, Thursday, Friday, they were, you know, Venus was approaching a conjunction to Pluto. So that was bringing up the story from 1982. When Saturn and Pluto were joined. Now, Saturn is going to the degree he was in 1982. He's going to station on it. So he's going to bring up the story from the fall of 82 and the changes in your relationship structures over this next month or so. But the story last week could have brought that up for you too, because Saturn and Pluto swapped spots, or Venus and Saturn swapped spots, making Saturn and Pluto joined, reminding you of 82, reminding you of 2001. So the echo times across time and space. We've got the Saturn-Pluto, which is 82. We have the eclipse back 19 years to 1992. We have 2001, because the points are September of 2001, because the points are activating that. And tie those three stories together, come up with how they interact. Now, this week, the emotional component comes in. So whatever you've been seeing or working out with the moon on the south node, it's highly emotional. So we want to give yourself a little space and a little room to be a little teary if you need it, or to be whatever emotions are for you. For me, emotions are crying and taking a shower. I get all nice and puffy and red, and then I go sit in the shower for an hour with water on my face. Makes me feel better. So whatever happens for you, you want to do too. Okay, so then just general, we haven't even gotten to the other fun stuff going on this week. The sun is aspecting the nodes of fate on December 6th, which is Tuesday. So we are going to see something about our fate. Sun rolls from 13 degrees Sag to 19 degrees Sag. He also has aspects to Jupiter, a little argument with Jupiter, which normally the sun and Jupiter get along pretty well, but right now, the sun is annoyed with his father, Jupiter. He's not happy, so we're all going to have a little bit of annoyance with the father principle or the authority principle. And remember, Mars in Virgo is the servants revolting. You know, we've got that for 9 months. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. But the servants are revolting. So if you're an authority and you're being bossy, your servants are going to revolt. And, of course, someone you report to is going to drive you crazy, because we all report to somebody, even if it's just God. But we have a reporting structure. We owe the IRS. We have to follow the rules of the society that we're in. And we're all going to be a little bit in the mood to go, you know what, I don't really want to follow that rule. Mercury joins up by parallel declination on December 8th with Mars and Saturn. And it's interesting, Mars and Saturn are traveling at the same degree by declination, even though they're part in the sky, or they're pretty close. So Mercury joining with them, it's called an Earth aspect, or I like to think of it as an Earth aspect because it's where the planets are on the face of the Earth. So Mercury joining with Mars, Saturn is bad news, or news that's difficult on December 8th, because you're going to get news that you're going to go, oh man, I didn't really like that news. Really? That's the news? And it is. It's an important news to pay attention to. Now, it is Mercury retrograde. Could all change. Could be a different set of news. You know, once Mercury goes direct on the 14th or the 13th next week. But right now, bad news. And you just kind of go, oh, that's what she was talking about, bad news. Mercury goes from 10 degrees of Sag back to 4. He's going backwards, remember. Venus goes from 11 degrees Capricorn to 18, stimulating all those points. She has an aspect with the nodes of fate, too, on December 7th. So what she's doing with the nodes is she's talking to them and adjusting. Now, remember, Venus is in Capricorn, eminently practical, eminently following, you know, figuring out what she wants. And she's usually pretty desirous when she's in Capricorn, but she likes high-end stuff, expensive chocolate, and nice jewels. So she's a little, has better taste than most of us when she's in Capricorn, or at least she's aware of better taste. I still remember at one point, my old assistant, Ruth, wanted a bag, a purse, and it was like $1,200. And I'm like, really? They sell purses for $1,200? And she's like, oh, yeah, you know, it was a very nice purse. So I said something to a friend of mine. And I'm like, I didn't know they made purses that expensive. She goes, oh, well, you know, and she has a couple of those purses. I'm like, you have a $1,200 purse? Because she's a Virgo, she's eminently practical, right? And she's like, well, I really love the purse, the design, the beauty, the grace. It's gorgeous. I'm like, okay, cool, good to know. You know, and those purses actually come in a purse. They come in a separate bag. So it was kind of one of those. I'm like, you have a $1,200 purse too? I didn't know they made $1,200. I mean, they make everything really expensive, but that this is like a known thing and people buy it. And then my therapist friend goes, well, Ann, you know, purses are vaginas, right? You know that. They carry precious things. I'm like, oh, does this mean I have an underpriced vagina and uterus? Wow, really? That's cool. I've never spent $1,200 on a purse. At any rate, I digress. I don't know where that came from. Not enough coffee. Okay, so Venus has an aspect with the nodes, which means that she's going to be told, And she's not worth whatever she wants, whatever price she wants. And she's going to be like, I am so, right? Now, when I was in college, I had a friend named Reg Carroll, and Reg Carroll was probably one of the best negotiators I have ever met in my life. The girl was amazing, and nothing stood in her way. She just would keep going. She was like the Energizer Bunny of negotiations. And so we were talking, you know, as women, we were all sitting around the dorm one morning or evening, probably evening. I didn't get up in the mornings. I still don't get up in the mornings. And she was like, well, when I get engaged, I'm getting a 1-carat ring, which was a big deal back in the 1970s. We were like, really? She goes, well, of course. I'm going to say, I want a 1-carat ring. And if they say anything to me about not getting me a 1-carat ring, I'm going to look at them and I'm going to go, don't you think I'm worth it? And wait. And if they say yes, they have to buy me the ring. And if they say no, they're in really big trouble. So they're going to say yes. So that's how I'm going to get a 1-carat ring. And we were all like, wow, where'd you come up with this? You know, and this is the kind of the things thinking she did. She was pretty good. So anyway, Venus is in the mood this week for a 1-carat ring. Don't buy her anything cheap, okay? She wants the nice stuff. Mars, 11 to 13, Gemini. Mars is crabby. He's, you know, he's just a little irritable. Remember, he's in Virgo. He's very sensitive under all that dirt, as my friend Kathy Van Berkom says. He is semi-square to Saturn and semi-square to Vulcanus, so he's in the mood to kind of launch himself and get stuff accomplished. Jupiter is causing some healing because he's going backwards in Taurus. He's at 0-1, and he's at the degree of his station, so he's going to be basically kind of parking here at late Taurus, early Taurus, till December 26th because he stations and goes direct there. Uranus we have going direct. Uranus is blowing up and changing some relationships on December 9th. And then we have lovely Juno talking to the nodes of fate on December 5th. So Juno is going to be blowing up partnerships or causing partnerships to undergo change. And then last but not least, of course, we do the moons. So the moon on the 5th is in Aries. Great day to get stuff accomplished, got good closing aspects, conquers the world, sextiles to Neptune. The moon on Tuesday, the 6th, is in Taurus, and on Wednesday, and on Thursday. And it goes void with a square to Neptune. So when it goes void with a square, it's in Taurus. So it, you know, it likes Taurus. Moon is exalted in Taurus. But Neptune says, you know what, kid, you're not getting what you want. But, you know, it's good for you to apply, good for you to ask, good for you to kind of approach this. Then at Thursday, it goes into Gemini at 9:52 at night. And it's in Gemini on Thursday night, all day Friday, all day Saturday. We have the lunar eclipse at 2 in the morning on Saturday. And then it is void at 5:30 in the morning on the 11th. So it's, you know, we have the eclipse, basically. Huge, huge eclipse. And then on Sunday, the 11th, we have the moon in Cancer with a nice, hard closing aspect of a square to Saturn. So it's not a great week emotionally because there's so much Neptune and because of the eclipse and because of the T-square with the eclipse. So your job is to just really be comfortable with how much change is going on and to recognize that what eclipses are for is to help you move forward. And that the energy and the things that you learn under this eclipse, you're going to have an opportunity to work with for the next 6 months. You don't have to do it all right now. You just have to get ready for it. You have to focus. You have to kind of deal with the energy. And as you deal with it, you'll find that you're really ready to let stuff go. Think back to the summer or to winter of 92, back to winter of 73, when these eclipses happened before at the same point, if you're really old, back to 62, they brought something to light. They always do. Now, it is a south node. You're going to find it's hard to be comforted. It is an air node. So talk, write it out, communicate, write it, burn it, release it. Sometimes it makes sense to get in contact with old people because Mercury retrograde is going to ask us to meet the old folk from our earlier lives and hear what they have to say about us. It's a good time to connect with people. So on that, the British lady is speaking in my ear, saying the show is over. Wish you a great week of December 5th. Hope you have a wonderful, wonderful time. I appreciate you listening early to the broadcast because I've got a party later and I didn't want to do this show, didn't want to miss the show because there's so much going on. So have a great week. Enjoy, and watch that eclipse. And remember, whatever emotionally comes up for you, it's an opportunity for clearing, healing, releasing, and moving on. Take care. This is Ann Ortley signing off from my bright red desk, and now I'm going to go feed the cats. Bye.